Can we have our children come up at this time? We're going to have a little children's Bible time together. So I invite all of our children that would like to come up at this time. Let's come up on the stage together. Everybody get up here where everybody can see you. Y'all can come up higher. Those of you getting on those low steps, come on up here on the top. Come up here on the top. We want everybody to see you. We like to recognize every part of the Hillcrest Church, and these children are a big part of this church family. And so we are thankful to be able to worship God together with them every week. We are so thankful for their faith. Their faith is an inspiration to each of us. All right, guys. Somebody tell me what's happening this week. What's happening this week? What's happening this week? Fall is happening. That's true. Fall is happening. What else is happening? Thanksgiving is happening. Are y'all excited about Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. What are y'all most excited about Thanksgiving? Ryder.
Football.
That's good. What else? Being with your family. That's very good. What else? Food. Let's be real, right? Food. That's good. Yes. Do what? Say that again. I didn't hear you. Your family, yes, that's wonderful. One more. Cookies? Turkey, yes. He looked at me and said, "This guy doesn't get it. He hasn't said Thanksgiving yet." That's right. One more. Yeah. What were we going to say? Being with your mom and dad. That is so good. Y'all are helping us remember things that are so important. Did you know that God wants us to be thankful? Because we call it Thanksgiving, right? And that means that we give what? We give thanks. And who are we thanking? We're thanking God. That's right. We thank God just for all of those things that you mentioned, for mom and dad, for family, for football and turkey and food and everything else. We thank God for all of those things, don't we? And the thing that we want to be most thankful for every single day is we know that Jesus has died for our sins and He lives with us and He gives us life and He loves us. He loves us so, so much. I'm excited about Thanksgiving, and we need to give thanks every day, don't we? We need to thank God every day. Let's close our eyes and let's have a prayer right now, okay, guys? Let's thank God right now. God, we thank You for today. We thank You for all the things that the children mentioned this morning, for the food, for family, for moms and dads, for being together, Lord. And we are most thankful for You, for Jesus, who's given His life for us and who's with us even right now and who loves these children. God, we pray that we would honor You and seek You and that we would teach and follow You every single day of our lives, Lord. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for coming up here. Y'all go on back to your seats now. Good morning. I'm so happy to be with you. We are thankful to be able to come and worship together. We're thankful for your presence here with us today. We have been taking the journey on the mountain with God and the Sermon on the Mount with Jesus and unpacking His life-transforming teaching here in Matthew 5 through 7. And today we are continuing to seek to ask God to let His kingdom come in our life and in our world. And we've been focusing in Matthew chapter 6 on bringing our faith into focus here and not being distracted and bringing our attention to God. And I'm very thankful for Justin Hatfield who preached in my absence last week. We had a family funeral last week, and so we were out of town for that. Very thankful that he was able to preach into this great text. And I know he did a great job talking about treasures in heaven. Right now, what I want you to do for this morning, we are talking about bringing our faith into focus from anxious living to thanksgiving. And what I want you to do right now is I want you to hold your leaf. Hold your leaf. I know some of you have it stuck on. If you feel the need to put your hand on your leaf, if you have it stuck on you, that's fine too. But I want you to have your leaf in hand, and I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "Leave tomorrow to God." Can you tell them that? Sometimes it helps to have an association with that, right? Leave tomorrow to God. You can tuck that leaf back away. Don't write on it yet. We are going to do something else with that towards the end of our time together in God's Word. It's amazing. I'm always in awe of the way that God's Word is timely. It is living and active, and it speaks to us. You know, Jesus said these words so long ago to a different crowd than the one that's gathered here today, and yet His message and His Word is timely, and He's speaking to us today when we read this text together. And He's speaking to us when He talks about anxiety or worry. You know, we have names for so many different phobias. There's phobias for fear of heights. There's phobias for fear of water, for fear of flying, for fear of small spaces or crowds or things like that. Did you know there's even a name? How many of you have ever heard of this phobia? Homilophobia, which is fear of sermons. I'm sorry if you're in the wrong place this morning. If you have that phobia, you can look it up. That's a real thing. Some of you are familiar with. I'm an Indiana Jones fan. Fear of what for Indiana Jones? He doesn't like snakes, right? You may not realize just how saturated our nation is with fear and worry. Now, there's an aspect of fear that is necessary in our lives, such as if in the moment when something's happening, those of you parents, right, if your child steps out into the street and a car is coming, you have that natural response that fear will actually, almost like an adrenaline or an energy, to grab your child and pull them back from harm. So there is a part of us that God actually put in there on purpose, you know, to have in that moment a natural response to react, not always being able to fully comprehend the moment. You have a natural response. There's another side to fear, though, that starts to move to another place where the fear is no longer about the moment. It's about what ifs. So that when we're talking about being anxious, we're now talking about not what's happening, but what could happen, right? We read news feeds and we go, "Oh my goodness, this has happened. There's something that has happened in the past, or this week, or months ago, or this year, or years ago, or somewhere in the world." Or we read in the news about things that are possible. And next thing we know, we may be so locked into those concerns that they start to control us. And we're not just thinking about what's happening, we're thinking about all the possible wrong things or bad things that could happen. Listen to this from the Word of God here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and following. Let's read this together. And I want you to hear this as Jesus speaking to you this morning. Even if this text is very familiar to you, I want you to listen and open your ears, and even more especially, open your heart to whatever is happening in your life right now. And hear Jesus talking to you in your world. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We are living in a world of worry. We are living in a world that is consumed with anxiety. And you need to know sometimes that our culture will feed on that. In fact, there are some things that exist, businesses and advertising, that are feeding off of our worries or our anxieties, trying to bait us into a certain way of thinking, as if there's something that you could buy or there's something that you could possess, that there was some material thing that would magically take away the trouble or the possibility or risks in life. And Christians, we need to be able to speak up and say, there is nothing in this life that can offer that cure. But there is someone who is able to give the cure for all of life's worries and all of life's troubles, and His name is Jesus Christ. Did you realize that the United States is the most... We lead in so many different things in the world. We also lead the world in anxiety. No other nation spends more money on medication and has that as a leading health disorder in our lives. We lead the world in that. We're living in a time that's rapidly changing, and those changes create a lot of anxieties for us. Our kids are growing up in a much more anxious time and a much more anxious experience than you or I went through. You think the news cycle is something that you're hit with a lot? Imagine your kids who are living in a world where everyone around them practically has instant news updates happening on their phone or wherever their electronic, wherever they're getting instant. It's instant, in an instant world that they're living in. And they're living with that kind of pressure. Children are having anxiety much more than they used to. Students, incoming freshmen, never before has depression and anxiety been listed in such an overwhelming way as a major health concern than the time that we're living in right now. College students dealing with pressures and things that previous generations just didn't, they weren't, it doesn't mean that there weren't troubles before, but we've started to become adopted into this kind of anxious way of life. You know, many years ago, I was at the movies with my wife, and, you know, if you're like me, sometimes you don't want to get up in the middle of the movie. You have one of those, if you're like me too, you bring a giant Coke, and they're bigger than any cup that you can get anywhere else, right? I don't know where we get movie-sized cups from, but I've got to have one of those, and I fill it up, and then I'm battling, there's two dramas that are going on. The movie is having a drama of the story it's telling, and I'm having the drama of, can I hold in this liquid that I've just consumed for this 2.5-hour movie, or however long it is? And so it's not uncommon for me to make the first exit and head straight to the restroom right after a movie. And I had done this after one movie experience, and I'm washing my hands, and I go to the dryer, and it's one of those dryers I could have blown my hands dry with my mouth, I think, better than this air dryer. And so I do my best to kind of, guys do this, right, guys? We wipe our hands, if you can't dry up another way, you wipe off in your pants and wipe the water off. And as soon as I had stepped out, I saw a good friend of mine from church who immediately put his hand forward for a handshake, and I give him one of the wettest handshakes ever. And I'm like, I'm sorry, the blow dryer didn't work well. Well, he immediately runs into somebody who is doing the same thing to him and reaching out, and next thing he knows, he's passing on the wet handshake that came from me, and now it's his wet handshake, and he's having to explain, I just shook hands with, and it was a very fun movie experience. You know, our worries become like a wet handshake that we go and we take it and we give it to somebody else. And then they take it and then we shouldn't be so surprised when our younger generations, the students or our children, are just so burdened. And they're so consumed. And they feel so much pressure. Can you imagine a child feeling the weight of the world on his shoulder so much that he doesn't know whether or not life is worth living? And yet we've come to learn that that is a leading problem in our world. So much pressure, so much stress, so much worry and anxiety that it's too much. We need the fresh air of Jesus Christ in our lives. We need the fresh air of His life-giving words and His life-giving message that's just as timeless today as it was then when He turned and He looked out into the crowds and He spoke into their needs and He spoke into their lives and He said, look at the birds of the air. You know, our eyes are so fixed on our world and our concerns and our problems that we're dealing with, our disappointments and our worries, that we become so distracted by them, we don't even see the life-giving things that God is doing all around us every single day. Jesus says, look, look. Go ahead. He's pointing them, right? Shift your gaze. Look at the birds of the air. When was the last time you saw them have a panic attack? Okay. About business life or whether or not they were going to be able to make the rent this month. When was the last time you saw them so choked up with anxiety that they couldn't open their mouths to sing and praise God? Or Jesus gazes in again and He says, look around you on the ground. You got to go outside for these illustrations for Jesus, which isn't a bad suggestion, by the way. Sometimes we need to move the location that we're in to get our minds right, get our heads clear. He says, look at the ground. Look at these flowers. They just happened. God just made them happen. Have you seen some of the wildflowers? You know, living in Texas, we see some of the most beautiful wildflowers. And a lot of times they're happening. There's no gardener that's tending to that every day and that's working feverishly to try to plant and see that those springtime wildflowers that pop up in all kinds of places. God just does that. And they're more beautiful than anything if we took all of our time to see, if we used all of our creative abilities. We can't create something even that beautiful. God just, He just speaks it. And there is a lesson there. There is a fundamental lesson there that God is pointing us to. You know, if God takes so much care over those little things in creation, which He does, Jesus is letting us know. In case you didn't know, who's doing that? Who's giving the birds a song to sing and the flowers their beauty? It's God. That's His handiwork. He's the caretaker. And Jesus says, think for just a minute. If He takes that kind of time and investment in those little things, some of them are only here for a very short time, but He makes them beautiful and wonderful and full of life, and they reflect His glory. He says, do you not think that He cares even more for you? Your life is worth so much to God. He's given the ultimate investment. There's not even a language that we can hold on to. The closest language that we can get to understand the love of God and the care of God for your life isn't something that we can put in words. We have to tell the story of Jesus. We can't just tell you the words and just say God loves you. We have to be able to tell you the story, and we have to be able to move your eyes to look at the cross and go, this is what we mean when we say God loves you. And we go back to that story continually because there's so much to learn and unpack about what that means. Jesus says, He cares for you. Here's what you need to do. Very plainly, Jesus says this, trust Him. Seek first His kingdom. His kingdom is real. He is working out His righteousness before your eyes, if you'll look. And all those other concerns, all those things, He will meet and surpass your needs. He's already started that healing in Jesus Christ. So take a deep breath, right? And breathe Him in. And breathe in that truth every single day. I got to hear a great story in our ministers' meeting this week. We have a great group of ministers here at Hillcrest, and they deal with the same concerns that we all deal with. They're parents. They have kids. We pray over those different things that are going on in our lives. And every once in a while, we get to share some special stories about things that God has done in our life to teach us things. We got to hear a great one this week. Our youth minister, Lance, shared with us a story from his life. They have two daughters, and their daughter Avery was about 4 years old whenever she had done something wrong, and they had corrected her on it, but she was just feeling so guilty. And the guilt was so much for her that she was inconsolable. She was crying, and she how children can get where they're breathing, they're kind of panicky, you know, and so she's in this inconsolable feeling. And they weren't able to do anything to be able to help her feel calm about herself. And they said, Avery, have you told God, have you prayed to God and told Him you're sorry? Tell God, they told her. And right there in that moment, in that inconsolable moment, she says, God, I'm sorry. And Lance said, as soon as she said those words, she was transformed. This peace comes over her. Now, you and I are believers, and I think that we claim that as something, don't we? We believe that. This isn't just feel-good words that we pull from time to time to quote a verse here and there. This is life-living and life-giving. Because God is active. God teaches us lessons even through our children, doesn't He? This message here is all formed around the prayer that Jesus gave in the earlier portion of this chapter, the Lord's Prayer that He gives. And prayer is really at the center of this idea that Jesus is calling to a God-focus, a God-centered life. And the prayer of Jesus is at the center of His ministry, and it's the center of how He approached teaching and preaching about the kingdom and touching people's lives, and it's what He calls us to as well. We have this great passage that Paul shares that's very, very similar language to what Jesus uses here in Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 8. You can tie this in completely to Jesus' words about worry and about tomorrow and about trusting God. And here's what He says when you have those anxieties in your life. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Sometimes we need to underline things in our Bibles, and it may be that you're at a place in your life right now today where you need to underline that statement. That's at the heart of what Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount, and especially in this text, and talking about not worrying. Why? Because God is present. Do you trust that God? Do we believe that? Paul calls the church to hear that and receive that. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, our world, no matter what we chase for, to try to fill the void, or try to find some stability or security in your life, and we're all guilty of trying substitutes. There's no substitute for what God is able to give you. Nothing else can give you this guarantee. And there's not even an explanation. It is a God thing when we talk about this transcendent speech, this peace. It's beyond our understanding except to say that God is able to reach into places inside you where no one else and no other thing can go. God is able to go there and heal the heart when we leave our worries to God. Avery was an inspiration with her story to me this week about her prayer to Jesus. And sometimes it is guilt that's in our life that we're needing to leave with God, the peace that she felt over her life. Another inspiration that I experienced this week, many of you know our very own Caitlin Harlow, who is battles cystic fibrosis, and Caitlin deals with a lot. She's in the hospital a lot. Caitlin has done something very, very wonderful in that she blogs and vlogs her illness experience. If you are on Facebook or Instagram, you can she shares her journey. And I want to tell you that it is an inspiring journey of faith for someone who's dealing with challenges that most of us will never have to face, not quite on this level of illness and of pain and of sickness. And I was reading one of her posts just this week, and I wanted to share with you this morning, because it is truly an inspiration, and it is truly an example of how we take those worries or those trials or those challenges, and we're honest about them. They're hard. We're honest whenever there's pain or there's struggle in our life. And she shared this honestly in her life. This past Thursday, she says, "Today has been a rough, hard, unpleasant day." She says, pick an adjective. It started with a stomach ache, which was followed by vomiting, which was followed by nausea, which was followed by dry heaving. This isn't bad luck or results of bad choices. It is part of being human with a broken body in a broken world. Last night, these lyrics from All Sons and Daughters' song, "Great Are You, Lord," came to mind, and I felt inspired to handwrite, to hand letter it. You see those words up there? It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Lord. She says, "It's now hanging on my wall in my hospital room where I can see it while I'm lying in bed. God is good. God is kind. God is loving. It doesn't make the vomiting or the suffering enjoyable, but it reminds me that the Lord of Lords is beside me and is for me as I cry through the sickness. He never leaves my side, ever." Amen. She's an inspiration. She's following the model and the words and the teaching of Jesus with her experience. Yes, there are bad days. Yes, there's news sometimes that we get and we go, this doesn't make me feel, I'm not excited about this. But when you follow Caitlin, you'll hear that sentiment, that idea at the close of all of her thoughts, and it's praise. Because she knows that God is never going to leave her side. And so those worries or those anxieties are transformed into a prayer of thanksgiving, because God is good. And He is to be praised. And each breath is a gift from Him. All right, there's something I want you to do right now. I do want you to take your leaf right now. And we're going to take just a few moments for this. Go ahead and go to the next slide. This is just to help us think through this teaching from Jesus. To move from the anxious living that we can get so caught up in, to where it owns us and becomes a prison for our minds and our lives. And we forget to focus on the beautiful things and the lasting things that God is doing, because the kingdom is here and the King is on His throne. Thanksgiving comes to the one who leaves their worries to God. What I want you to do with your leaf, now one side of your leaf has a little sticky thing on it. I want you to put your worries, whatever worries that you have going on in your life right now, just can you name some of them? Anything that's made you to lose sleep, anything that's made you short of breath, anything that you feel looming or weighing over you, take just a moment right now and write down, name those things. Write down your worries. I know sometimes we offer prayers and we can be very generic, and God hears all of our prayers for sure. But sometimes He invites us to be very specific, because that's exactly what we're needing to hear Him talk to us about. You know, fill in the blank of what it is that's weighing on your life right now. What we're going to do with this is, once you've written those down, we're going to turn those over just as if we are turning them over to God, leaving them with God, because we are recognizing that even in the midst of the troubles, in the midst of the concerns, in the midst of the shortness of breath and anxious feelings that we feel from time to time, God is working out thanksgiving on the other side. And what I want you to write on the other side, and this is going to be the side that's going to be facing up, on the other side of those worries and those concerns that you have named to God, I want you to write a thanksgiving. You can write a little prayer if you want to. If you want to borrow from the scripture here and use that as a model and name a few things that you're thankful for in your life right now, you can do that. But go ahead and write it down right now. And in a moment, I'm going to offer a prayer. We're going to pray over all of those things together. I do want you to hang on to those as well. What we're going to do whenever you are exiting the worship center today, what we want to do is stick those on the wall to my left. You can see there's a wide space. And we're going to have all of those prayers and thanksgivings hanging up there. Let's bow together. God, we thank you that you hear the anxieties of our heart, the requests of our heart. Thank you, Father, for the things that were named this morning. Thank you that you hear us. God, help those who've written out their worries and concerns this morning to feel your presence as if they were literally handing these to you or speaking these into your ear. God, we thank you for Jesus' words, and we believe in his power. We believe in his kingdom. We believe that he is on the throne. And that even as there are trials and troubles in this world, your will, your kingdom, your righteousness is breaking through like a new day that is dawning. And we glorify you for that. And it gives us great thanksgiving to know that you are right here with us. God, forgive us when we get distracted from things and worries. God, help us to lay those down at your feet. When there's guilt or sin in our lives, help us to lay those down, to confess those at your feet. And let your transcendent peace come over our hearts and our lives. And let your thanksgiving ever be on our lips. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It may mean that some of you are like little Avery this morning. Maybe you have that guilt or that feeling over your heart. Maybe you are needing to confess your need to say to God, "God, I'm sorry." Don't hold back. Don't hold back from sharing every part of your heart and your life with God this morning. We're going to have our shepherds up here and some in the back as well. If you're needing prayer or encouragement of any kind, we invite you right now. Let's stand together and let's sing.